5 months later, Wax walked through the decorated rooms of a large, lively party, passing men in dark suits with tailcoats and women in colorful dresses with narrow waists and lots of folds through long pleated skirts. They called him Lord Waxillium or Lord Ladrian when they spoke to him. He nodded to each, but avoided being drawn into conversation. He deliberately made his way to one of the back rooms of the party, where dazzling electric lights, the talk of the city, produced a steady, too even light to ward off the evening's gloom. Outside the windows, he could see mist tickling the glass. Defying decorum, Wax pushed his way through the room's enormous glass double doors and stepped out onto the mansion's grand balcony. There, finally, he felt like he could breathe again. He closed his eyes, feeling the faint wetness of the mists on the skin of his face.
Buildings are so suffocating here in the city. Have I simply forgotten about that? Or did I not notice when I was younger?
He opened his eyes and rested his hands on the balcony railing to look out over Ellendale. It was the grandest city in all the world, a metropolis designed by Harmony himself, the place of Wax's youth, a place that hadn't been his home for 20 years. Though it had been 5 months since Lessie's death, he could still hear the gunshot, see the blood sprayed on the bricks. He had left the roughs, moved back to the city, answering the desperate summons to do his duty to his house at his uncle's passing. Behind him, he could hear everyone having a wonderful time from the warmth of the room. Set Mansion was a grand place, full of expensive woods, soft carpets, and sparkling chandeliers. No one joined him on the balcony. From this vantage, he had the perfect view of the lights down Demo Promenade, a double row of bright electric lamps with a steady, blazing whiteness. They glowed like bubbles along the wide boulevard, which was flanked by the even wider canal, the still and quiet waters reflecting the light. An evening railway engine moved through the distant center of the city, hemming the mists with darker smoke. Down Demo Promenade, Wax had a good view of both the Iron Spine Building and Tekiel Tower, one on either side of the canal. Both were unfinished, but their steelwork lattices already rose high into the sky, mind-numbingly high. The architects continued to release updated reports of how high they intended to go, each one trying to outdo the other. Rumors he'd heard at this very party, credible ones, claimed that both would eventually top out at over 50 stories. Nobody knew which would end up proving the taller, though friendly wagers were common. Wax breathed in the mists. Out in the roughs, Set Mansion, which was 3 stories high, would have been as tall as a building got. Here, it felt dwarfed. The world had gone and changed on him during his years out of the city. It had grown up, inventing lights that needed no fire to glow and buildings that threatened to rise higher than the mists themselves. Looking down that wide street at the edge of the 5th Octant, Wax suddenly felt very, very old.
Lord Waxillium?
He turned to find an older woman, Lady Aving Set, peeking out the door at him. Her gray hair was up in a bun, and she wore rubies at her neck.
By Harmony, my good man, you'll take a chill out here. Come, there are some people you will wish to meet.
I'll be along presently, my lady. I'm just getting a little air.
Lady Set frowned, but retreated. She didn't know what to make of him. None of them did. Some saw him as a mysterious scion of the Ladrian family, associated with strange stories of the realms beyond the mountains. The rest assumed him to be an uncultured rural buffoon. He figured he was probably both. He'd been on show all night. He was supposed to be looking for a wife, and pretty much everyone knew it. House Ladrian was insolvent following his uncle's imprudent management, and the easiest path to solvency was marriage. Unfortunately, his uncle had also managed to offend 3/4 of the city's upper crust. Wax leaned forward on the balcony, the Sterian revolvers under his arms jabbing his sides. With their long barrels, they weren't meant to be carried in underarm holsters. They had been awkward all night. He should be getting back to the party to chat and try to repair House Ladrian's reputation. But the thought of that crowded room, so hot, so close, sweltering, making it difficult to breathe. Giving himself no time to reconsider, he swung off over the side of the balcony and began falling 3 stories toward the ground. He burned steel, then dropped a spent bullet casing slightly behind himself and pushed against it. His weight sent it speeding down to the earth faster than he fell. As always, thanks to his ferrochemi, he was lighter than he should have been. He hardly knew anymore what it felt like to go around at his full weight. When the casing hit the ground, he pushed against it and sent himself horizontally in a leap over the garden wall. With one hand on its stone top, he vaulted out of the garden, then reduced his weight to a fraction of normal as he fell down the other side.
Ah, good.
Wax crouched down and peered through the mists.
The coachman's yard.
The vehicles everyone had used to get there were arranged here in neat rows, the coachmen themselves in a few cozy rooms that spilled orange light into the mists. No electric lights here, just good, warmth-giving hearths. He walked among the carriages until he found his own, then opened the trunk strapped to the back. Off came his gentleman's fine dinner coat. Instead, he threw on his mist coat, a long, enveloping garment like a duster with a thick collar and cuffed sleeves. He slipped a shotgun into his pocket on the inside, then buckled on his gun belt and moved the Sterians into the holsters at his hips.
Much better.
He really needed to stop carrying the Sterians and get some more practical weapons for concealment. Unfortunately, he'd never found anything as good as Renette's work. Hadn't she moved to the city, though? Perhaps he could look her up and talk her into making him something, assuming she didn't shoot him on sight. A few moments later, he was running through the city, the mist coat light upon his back. He left it open at the front, revealing his black shirt and gentleman's trousers. The ankle-length mist coat had been divided into strips from just above the waist, the tassels streaming behind him. He launched himself right into the air with a bullet casing and landed atop the building across the street from the mansion. He glanced back at it, the shadows ablaze in the evening dark. What kind of rumors was he going to start vanishing from the balcony like that? Well, they already knew he was twin-born. That was a matter of public record. His disappearance wasn't going to do much to help patch his family's reputation. For the moment, he didn't care. He'd spent almost every evening since his return to the city at one social function or another, and they hadn't had a misty night in weeks. He needed the mists. This was who he was. Wax dashed across the rooftop and leaped off, moving toward Demo Promenade. Just before hitting the ground, he flipped a spent casing down and pushed on it, slowing his descent. He landed in a patch of decorative shrubs that caught his coat tassels.
Damn.
Nobody planted decorative shrubs out in the roughs. He pulled himself free, wincing at the noise. A few weeks in the city and he was already getting rusty? He shook his head and pushed himself into the air again, moving out over the wide boulevard and parallel canal. He angled his flight so he crested that and landed on one of the new electric lamps. There was one nice thing about a modern city like this. It had a lot of metal. He smiled, then flared his steel and pushed off the top of the street lamp, sending himself in a wide arc through the air. Mist streamed past him, swirling as the wind rushed against his face. It was thrilling. A man never truly felt free until he'd thrown off gravity's chains and sought the sky. As he crested his arc, he pushed against another streetlight, throwing himself farther forward. The long row of metal poles was like his own personal railway line. He bounded onward, his antics drawing attention from those passing in carriages, both horse-drawn and horseless. He smiled. Coin shots like himself were relatively rare, but Ellendale was a major city with an enormous population. He wouldn't be the first man these people had seen bounding by metal through the city. Coinshots often acted as high-speed couriers in Ellendale. The city's size still astonished him. Millions lived here, maybe as many as 5 million. Nobody had a sure count across all of its wards. They were called octants, and as one might expect, there were 8 of them. Millions. He couldn't picture that, though he'd grown up here. Before he'd left Weathering, he'd been starting to think it was getting too big, but there couldn't have been 10,000 people in the town. He landed atop a lamp directly in front of the massive iron spine building. He craned his neck, looking up through the mists at the towering structure. The unfinished top was lost in the darkness. Could he climb something so high? He couldn't pull on metals, only push. He wasn't some mythological mistborn from the old stories like the Survivor or the Ascendant Warrior. One elementic power, one ferrochemical power, that was all a man could have. In fact, having just one was a rare privilege. Being twin-born like Wax was truly exceptional. Wayne claimed to have memorized the names of all the different possible combinations of Twinborn. Of course, Wayne also claimed to have once stolen a horse that belched in perfect musical notes, so one learned to take what he said with a pinch of copper. Wax honestly didn't pay attention to all of the definitions and names for Twinborn. He was called a crasher, the mix of a coin shot and a skimmer. He rarely bothered to think of himself that way. He began to fill his metal mines, the iron bracers he wore on his upper arms, draining himself of more weight, making himself even lighter. That weight would be stored away for future use. Then, ignoring the more cautious part of his mind, he flared his steel and pushed. He shot upward. The lamp was a good anchor, capable of pushing him quite high. He dangled slightly, and the building's stories became a blur in front of him. He landed about 20 stories up, just as his push on the lamp was reaching its limit. This portion of the building had been finished already, the exterior made of a molded material that imitated worked stone. Ceramics, he'd heard. It was a common practice for tall buildings, where the lower levels would be actual stone, but the higher reaches would use something lighter. He grabbed hold of an outcropping. He wasn't so light that the wind could push him away, not with his metal mines on his forearms and the weapons he wore. His lighter body did make it easier to hold himself in place. Mist swirled beneath him. It seemed almost playful. He looked upward, deciding his next step. His steel revealed lines of blue to nearby sources of metal, many of which were the structure's frame. Pushing on any of them would send him away from the building.
There.
Wax noted a decent-sized ledge about 5 feet up. He climbed up the side of the building, gloved fingers sure on the complexly ornamented surface. A coin shot quickly learned not to fear heights. He hoisted himself up onto the ledge, then dropped a bullet casing, stopping it with his booted foot. He looked upward, judging his trajectory. He drew a vial from his belt, then uncorked it and downed the liquid and steel shavings inside it. The whiskey burned his throat. Good stuff from Staggin still.
Damn, I'm gonna miss that when my stock runs out.
He tucked the empty vial away. Most Allomancers didn't use whiskey in their metal vials. Most Allomancers were missing out on a perfect opportunity. He smiled as his internal steel reserves were restored. Then he flared the metal and launched himself. He flew up into the night sky. Unfortunately, the iron spine was built in setback tiers, the upper stories growing progressively narrower as you went higher. That meant that even though he'd pushed himself directly up, he was soon soaring in open darkness, mists around him, the building's side a good 10 feet away. Wax reached into his coat and removed his short-barreled shotgun from the long sleeve-like pocket inside. He turned, pointing it outward, and braced it against his side. He was light enough that the kick flung him toward the building. The shell was loaded with spray shot, too small and light to hurt anyone when it fell dispersed from such a height. He slammed into the wall of the tower 5 stories above where he'd been and grabbed hold of a spike-like protrusion. The decoration up here really was marvelous. Who did they think would be looking at it? He shook his head. Architects were curious types, not practical at all, like a good gunsmith. Wax climbed to another shelf and jumped upward again. The next jump was enough to get him to the open steelwork lattice of the unfinished upper floors. He strolled across a girder, then shimmied up a vertical member, his reduced weight making it easy, and climbed atop the very tallest of the beams jutting from the top of the building. The height was dizzying. Even with the mists obscuring the landscape, he could see the double row of lights illuminating the street below. Other lights glowed more softly across the town, like the floating candles of a seafarer's ocean burial. Only the absence of lights allowed him to pick out the various parks and the bay far to the west. Once, this city had felt like home. That was before he'd spent 20 years living out in the dust, where the law was sometimes a distant memory and people considered carriages a frivolity. What would Lessie have thought of one of these horseless contraptions, with the thin wheels meant for driving on a city's fine paved streets? Vehicles that ran on oil and grease, not hay and horseshoes. He turned about on his perch. It was difficult to judge locations in the dark and the mists, but he did have the advantage of a youth spent in this section of the city. Things had changed, but not that much. He judged the direction, checked his steel reserves, then launched himself out into the darkness. He shot outward in a grand arc above the city, flying for a good half a minute on the push off those enormous girders. The skyscraper became a shadowed silhouette behind him, then vanished. Eventually, his impetus ran out and he dropped back through the mists. He let himself fall. When the lights grew close and he could see that nobody was below him, he pointed his shotgun at the ground. The jolt punched him upward for a moment, slowing his descent. He pushed off the birdshot on the ground to slow him further. He landed easily in a soft crouch. He noticed with dissatisfaction that he'd all but ruined some good paving stones with the shot.
Harmony, I'm like a horse blundering through a narrow marketplace.
He hooked his shotgun back under his coat.
I need to learn more finesse.
Out in the roughs, he'd been considered a refined gentleman. Here, if he didn't watch himself, he'd soon prove himself to be the uncultured brute that most of the nobility already assumed that he was. Out of instinct, Wax pushed himself sideways off an iron gate, then ducked in a roll. He came up and reached for Asterion with his right hand, his left steadying the shotgun in its sleeve inside his coat. He peered into the night. Had his thoughtless shotgun blasts drawn the attention of the local constables?
No, those are too distant. Something's happening.
This actually gave him a thrill. He leaped into the air and down the street, pushing off that same gate to get height. He landed atop a building. This area was filled with 3- and 4-story apartment structures that had narrow alleyways between. How could people live without any space around them? He'd have gone mad. He crossed a few buildings. It was handy that the rooftops were flat, and then stopped to listen. His heart beat excitedly, and he realized he'd been hoping for something like this. It was why he'd been driven to leave the party, to seek out the skyscraper and climb it, to run through the mists. Back in Weathering, as the town grew larger, he'd often patrolled at night, watching for trouble. He fingered his Asterion, judged the distance, then dropped a bullet casing and pushed himself into the air. He'd restored his weight to 3/4 and left it there. You needed some weight on you to fight effectively. The mists swirled and spun, teasing him. One could never tell which nights would bring out the mists. They didn't conform to normal weather patterns. A night could be humid and chill, and yet not a wisp of mists would appear. Another night could begin dry as brittle leaves, but the mists would consume it. They were thin this night, and so visibility was still good.
There.
Steel burning with a comfortable warmth within him, he leaped over another street in a flurry of mist coat tassels, spinning mist, and calling wind. He landed softly, then raised his gun in front of him as he ran in a crouch across the roof. He reached the edge and looked down. Just below him, someone had taken refuge behind a pile of boxes near the mouth of an alley. In the dark, misty night, Wax couldn't make out many details, but the person was armed with a rifle resting on a box. The barrel was pointed toward a group of people down the street who wore the distinctive domed hats of city constables. Wax pushed out lightly from himself in all directions, setting up his steel bubble. He peered down at the man firing upon the constables. It would be good to do something of actual value in this city rather than just standing around chatting with the overdressed and the overprivileged. He dropped a bullet casing, and his allomancy pressed it down onto the rooftop beneath him. He pushed more forcefully on it, launching himself up and through the swirling mists. He decreased his weight dramatically and pushed on a window latch as he fell, positioning himself so he landed right in the middle of the alleyway. With his steel, he could see lines pointing toward 4 different figures in front of him. Even as he landed, the men spinning toward him, he raised his Asterion and sighted on the first of the street thugs. The man had a patchy beard and eyes as dark as the night itself. When he heard the woman, Wax froze, unable to move. The memories, so carefully dammed up in his head, crashed through and flooded his mind. Lessie, held with a garrote around her neck. A single shot, blood on the red brick walls. The street thug jerked his rifle toward Wax. The steel bubble barely deflected it, and the bullet tugged through the fabric of Wax's coat, just missing his ribs. He tried to fire, but that whimpering...
Oh, Harmony.
He pointed his gun downward at the ground. He pushed on the bullet and threw himself backward, up out of the alleyway. Bullets pierced the mists all around him. Steel bubble or not, he should have fallen to one of them. It was pure luck that saved his life as he landed on another roof and rolled to a stop, prone, protected from the gunfire by a parapet wall.
Idiot. Fool.
He'd never frozen in combat before, even when he'd been green. This, however, was the first time he'd tried to shoot someone since the disaster in the ruined church. He wanted to duck away in shame, but he gritted his teeth and crawled forward to the edge of the roof. The men were still down there. He could see them better now, gathering and preparing to make a run for it. They probably wanted nothing to do with an Allomancer. He aimed at the apparent leader. However, before Wax could fire, the man fell to gunfire from the constables. In moments, the alleyway swarmed with men in uniforms.
No one else move! You are under arrest!
Wax raised his Sterion beside his head.
I could have fired that time. It was just that one moment where I froze. It wouldn't have happened again.
He told himself this several times as the constables pulled the malefactors out of the alley one at a time. There was no woman. The whimpering he'd heard had been a gang member who'd taken a bullet before Wax arrived. The constables hadn't seen Wax. He turned and disappeared into the night. A short time later, Wax arrived at Ladrian Mansion, his residence in the city, his ancestral home. He didn't feel like he belonged there, but he used it anyway. The stately home lacked expansive grounds, though it did have four elegant stories, with balconies and a nice patio garden out back. Wax flew over the front fence and landed atop the gatehouse.
My carriage is back.
Not surprising. They were getting used to him. He wasn't certain whether to be pleased by that or ashamed of it. He pushed off the gates and landed on a fourth-story balcony. Coinshots had to learn precision, unlike their cousin Allomancers, iron pullers, also known as lurchers. These would just pick a target and pull themselves toward it, but they usually had to grind up the side of a building, making noise. Coinshots had to be delicate, careful, accurate. The window was unlatched. He'd left it that way. He didn't fancy dealing with people at the moment. His abortive confrontation with the criminals had rattled him. He slipped into the darkened room, then padded across it and listened at the door. No sounds in the hallway. He quietly moved out. The hallway was dark, and he was no tin eye capable of enhancing his senses. He felt his way with each step, being careful not to trip on the edge of a rug or bump into a pedestal. His rooms were at the end of the hallway. He reached for the brass knob with gloved fingers. Excellent. He carefully pushed the door open, stepping into his bedroom. Now, he just had to... A door opened on the other side of his room, letting in bright yellow light. Wax froze in place, though his hand quickly reached into his coat for one of his Sterions. An aging man stood in the doorway, holding a large candelabrum. He wore a tidy black uniform and white gloves. He raised an eyebrow at Wax.
Hi, Lord Ladrian. I see that you've returned.
Wax sheepishly removed his hand from inside his coat.
Your bath is drawn, my lord.
I didn't ask for a bath.
Yes, but considering your night's entertainments, I thought it prudent to prepare one for you. Gunpowder?
Yes.
I trust my lord didn't shoot anyone too important.
No, I couldn't.
Tiom stood there, stiff, disapproving.
Shall I draft a letter of apology to Lady Set, my lord? I believe she will expect it, considering that you sent one to Lord Stanton.
Yes, that would be well.
Wax lowered his fingers to his belt, feeling the metal vials there, the revolver at each hip, the weight of the shotgun strapped inside his coat.
What am I doing? I'm acting like a fool.
He suddenly felt exceedingly childish. Leaving a party to go patrolling through the city, looking for trouble? What was wrong with him? He felt as if he'd been trying to recapture something, a part of the person he'd been before Lessie's death. He had known, deep down, that he might have trouble shooting now, and had wanted to prove otherwise. He'd failed that test.
My lord, may I speak boldly for a moment?
You may.
The city has a large number of constables, and they are quite capable in their jobs. Our house, however, has but one High Lord. Thousands depend on you, sir.
Tiom nodded his head in respect, then moved to begin lighting some candles in the bedroom. The butler's words were true. House Ladrian was one of the most powerful in the city, at least historically. In the city's government, Wax represented the interests of all of the people his house employed. True, they'd also have a representative based on votes in their guild, but it was Wax they depended on most. His house was nearly bankrupt, rich in potential, in holdings, and in workers, but poor in cash and connections because of his uncle's foolishness. If Wax didn't do something to change that, it could mean jobs lost, poverty, and collapse as other houses pounced on his holdings and seized them for debts not paid. Wax ran his thumbs along his stereons.
The constables handled those street toughs just fine. They didn't need me. This city doesn't need me, not like Weathering did.
He was trying to cling to what he had been. He wasn't that person any longer. He couldn't be. But people did need him for something else.
Guillaume?
The butler looked back from the candles. The mansion didn't have electric lights yet, though workmen were coming to install them soon. Something his uncle had paid for before dying. Money Wax couldn't recover now.
Yes, my lord.
Wax hesitated, then slowly pulled his shotgun from its place inside his coat and set it into the trunk beside his bed, placing it beside a companion he'd left there earlier. He took off his mist coat, wrapping the thick material over his arm. He held the coat reverently for a moment, then placed it in the trunk. His Sterian revolvers followed. They weren't his only guns, but they represented his life in the roughs. He closed the lid of the trunk on his old life.
Take this, Guillaume. Put it somewhere.
Yes, my lord. I shall have it ready for you should you need it again.
I won't be needing it.
Wax had given himself one last night with the mists. A thrilling climb up the tower. An evening spent with the darkness. He chose to focus on that, rather than his failure with the Tufts, as his night's accomplishment. One final dance.
Take it, Guillaume.
Wax turned away from the trunk.
Put it somewhere safe, but put it away. For good.
Yes, my lord.
And that is that.
Wax then walked into the washroom. Wax, the lawkeeper, was gone. It was time to be Lord Waxilium Ladrian, 16th High Lord of House Ladrian, residing in the 4th Octant of Ellendale City.